train. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Is fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Well, that's why they call me Cudsy.
Hello! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
Right side, a wrist shot blocked.
Reuniting Sagan with this line here.
There's Bergeron, a one-timer! St. Romer! Rebound loose at the top of the crease! Wrist shot score! Bergeron! Bergeron! And game seven! And the Bruins win the series!
Pasta. I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta. Pasta.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. That's just in case there happens to be any Toronto players who are listening to the old sports talk radio at 6 in the morning. just to get in their head.
Maybe they'll get up and carbo load this morning.
Maybe they will.
And they'll be very tired when the game starts.
Let's hope so.
When was the last time you ate pasta? spaghetti or the pasta.
Pasta.
Boy, when he said that, did I think that was funny.
Look at his face. He's like, what do you want from me? It's what I do.
He wouldn't say, like, we were talking to him. He wouldn't say anything. And like, why are you such a loser? Like, because that was the bit.
Well, it was, yeah. How are you not the anti-TB12?
Like, and he goes, hey.
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
That might have been all he said.
I think that's pretty much all he said. It was enough for me. I voted for him.
I was just going to say, he did get the one vote from the team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought he was the greatest.
Is he the one who looked like Hurley from Lost?
Yep.
Okay, all right.
He had and the ironic thing is he had a Wheaties jacket on, which I think it's odd that Wheaties made a jacket that size.
It's like, where do you get one of those?
I don't know. Did you carbo loading?
That's right. Flake loading.
Yep. You're having all those. So,
pasta.
Tonight is game seven.
And I'm not looking forward to it. this is not enjoyable.
What time is it at? 7:30?
Yes, 7:30.
Mm-hmm. They had to give you the extra half hour.
Right, to prepare mentally.
So how are you going to handle this? Are you going to start watching from the beginning, or are you going to wait to find out when they're up by a goal and then watching?
I start watching, and then if they're up by a goal, then if it's tied or if they're up by a goal, I'll watch. If they get down by a goal, I'll turn the channel.
Okay, and I will text you if they tie it back up or go up by a goal.
I don't think I want that.
Okay.
Because because then I'll just be waiting for the text. So that's just as bad.
Yeah, the anxiety's still there.
Looking at the phone every 5 seconds.
So
did they tie it?
Yeah.
Did
so
they tie it?
I have a ESPN app that, it's in, the Bruins are one of my favorite teams I have on there. So what I'll do is I have Bruins Celtics on there as well as, the other teams I like. But I, part of the thing is I'll look and, refresh it.
Yeah.
And then if it ties, the game ties, then I'll turn it back on. And obviously, I can figure out how it happened. And then I'll watch it while it's tied. And if the Bruins go up by a goal, I'll continue watching. And if they get down by a goal, I'll turn it off again.
Well, let's just hope and pray that it's one of those that it's out of hand at the very beginning.
Well, that's not happening, I don't think. No. I don't think they're going to win, but...
Well, who knows? And anyone who thinks they do know what the hell's going to happen has no idea. All I know is that it doesn't sound like you're getting a Donato fix for all the people who wanted him.
You're getting the fantastic Heinen, who hasn't been playing. So you get him out in the second line.
Yep.
Cassidy loves Nash. On that third line, he loves the heavy third line.
Mm-hmm.
That did nothing. They did absolutely nothing the other night, so he's going to go back to that. Perhaps it's gamesmanship. Perhaps for morning skate today, you'll see something else, but for the time being, that's what it's going to be. And
we do have tickets to give away
at 8:50.
Yeah, so at 8:50 we will have tickets to Game 7.
You're going to be in the building for the loss.
You are convinced they're going to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel different. I feel completely different from you. I felt that way. I'm very uncomfortable about this, but for some reason, I feel really positive about the Bruins.
You see, I think Fred feeling this way is a better, it's a healthier way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because if they win, it's sunshine and rainbows. You feel great.
It's a pleasant surprise.
But if you build up your hopes and you actually believe that they are going to do it and for some reason they don't pull it off, it's a lot more crushing of a feeling inside. And it sucks. But Fred is doing exactly what I think most people should do today, fear the worst. And that way, if they win, go nuts. Then go crazy, scream at Nick out in the streets. I'm cool with that. But it is. I hate game sevens. They suck.
It's going to be crappy weather. You know, everyone's going to be in a bad mood to start with. And then just carry that over into the evening.
But I truly believe they're not going to win. I truly believe that that's not happening.
I've watched this team play so well for the last 4 months. And they're in a slump. They're generating opportunities. We can all agree on that. They're not getting dominated. They're generating a ton of opportunities. I gotta believe the luck changes tonight.
Okay.
I mean, just simple law of averages.
Well, maybe there won't be
the luck changes tonight.
Maybe it won't be such finesse. Maybe they'll actually put pucks on net. Scoring chances will be there. They won't dipsy do. They won't get the goaltender won't get in there. Anderson won't get in their heads, like as he has last game, probably for a couple games where they've been trying to finesse goals. Perhaps they'll, have confidence and get back into it, but I don't have faith in that. And that's why I'm just going to, if when they get down a goal, I'm just going to be like, all right, this is it. I'm done. Bring on the draft. See the Jets get someone horrible.
Even the Jets can't screw this one up.
They're going to get Achilles Smith.
They'll draft Achilles Smith?
Yeah.
Even though he's 45?
Yeah, they'll go back in time and get Achilles Smith.
Yeah.
Is what they'll do.
Nope. They're going to get a good quarterback this time, Fred. They are.
Josh Allen.
They would screw that
Wyoming.
If they drafted Josh Allen.
Johnny Lamb Jones. Wide receiver.
Who was the running back that got second overall? Freeman McNeil.
No, Freeman McNeil was a good pick, and we've been through this.
That was
a good pick. The pick that they... who's the running back that they took?
Who's a tight end?
Oh, well, which one?
Not Kyle Brady, the other one.
Johnny Mitchell.
Johnny Mitchell, that's the guy I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Well, Kyle Brady was Warren Sapp was on the board.
Right.
And then when they took...
There was the pot problem with Sapp, so they passed on
him. Yeah, because the Lord knows.
Yeah.
But I've been told that was cocaine as well.
Okay.
But that was not official, so...
Jets are going to get one of the two best quarterbacks on the board.
Jets take Josh Allen, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And then you say...
we like his potential.
Yeah.
He's got all the physical tools.
Yeah, he wasn't very good at Wyoming.
By the way,
but we're going to pop him in the NFL and he's going to go nuts.
Two things. First of all, Blair Thomas was the running back.
Blair Thomas. Yes.
And the other thing about Josh Allen, I saw a number about Josh Allen. They had a guy go back and check out his completion percentage in high school as a starting quarterback for the JV. He's never been above 60%.
Well, yeah, he went to Wyoming.
I know, but I mean, not even as a JV high school quarterback, as the starting high school quarterback for 2 years, or at Wyoming, never has he completed 60% of his passes.
But Johnny has the size and the arm.
That's right. Physical ability. Mike Mayock will keep saying that over and over and over again. Physical ability.
Jeff George, baby.
Yep.
But at least he went to Illinois. Right? Yeah, Illinois.
George did, yes.
Yes, indeed.
By the way, when are they saying that the first game of the second round would be for the Bruins if they win? It's Saturday, right? Saturday afternoon?
I think
I saw them announce that it would be Saturday afternoon if that ended up happening.
Okay, well, that'll be on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Of course, yeah, because... Which, once again, the way that they see these things is strange.
Well, no, it's just instead of a 1-8, you have to play through your division. Yeah. And as we've discussed many times over the last couple of months, it's bad luck for the Bruins because they have to play the best team in the Eastern Conference in the second round as a result.
Yeah, but I wouldn't worry about that. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Here's one reason why I think that there might actually be a little bit of luck on the Bruins side. I played that clip to start the game, of course, of that comeback where they were down 3 goals and Bergeron, of course, wins it, and that famous call by Dave Gosher. Did you realize Dave Gosher is going to be in the house tonight?
I did see that.
He is going to be here because for some like weird broadcast.
Westwood One.
Yeah, he is doing he is going to be doing the play-by-play. So you will have.
In the week he has off between Vegas series.
I don't think he's going to do like the Vegas series, right? It's probably not local.
That's right. I forgot he only does. That's right. Yeah. So because he's not doing radio anymore.
That's right. Because he's like Jack. He's the Jack Edwards.
Local TV kicked out after round one.
He's the TV guy. He's the Jack Edwards, now everything's national after that. So he's going to be a, you know, floating from game to game, and God knows he knows the Bruins. So if the Bruins continue to move on, I just think that maybe there's a little bit of good luck there.
Well, he is following the footsteps of Jack Edwards, so he's painted his teeth brown. In honor of Jack Edwards. Yes, he will be in the building this evening. And so if you're not going to hear him. But
but he will be there.
Yes, he will be in the building. And he was there for the big comeback against Toronto and everything else.
Is his partner, the sheriff, going to be there?
Shane Knighty?
Yeah.
The sheriff?
You know that's his play-by-play guy.
I know.
His color guy.
He went from Winnipeg to Las Vegas.
I have a little twist to this series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it?
The sheriff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, maybe he'll be there.
It's such two wonderful places. Winnipeg and then into Las Vegas. Las Vegas, great for 2 days. Don't think I'd want to live there.
Gosher swears by it. Gosher likes the living accommodations.
Every time I talked to Gosher, he was in the middle of some, like, insane renovation of his house that required him to
stay in one room. Put it this way, the one thing that would be okay about living in Vegas is that with the money that you make here, if you just transferred to Vegas, you'd live like a king.
Right.
Like the cost of living is insanely low out there.
Yeah, you could buy a house for $5 because they've overbuilt that thing and everything was in foreclosure.
Now reselling it would be a problem.
Well you can't. It's not an investment. It's more of just
I got a big house.
Yeah, look at me. I have a McMansion in a place where they've stopped developing.
Right.
Toucher.
Oh my God.
And Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
What's up, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, the last week had been a disaster for Boston teams in the playoffs until last night, thanks to the return of an old friend.
And the ovation behind us will tell you who is checking into the game. Marcus Smart missed the final 15 games of the regular year, first 4 games of the series, cleared this morning to play. And nothing was going to keep him from this game.
Marcus Smart returns to the court and has about as Marcus Smarty a night as one could possibly have in the Celtics' 92-87 win over the Bucks to bring the Celtics 1 game away from advancing to round 2. It really was classic Marcus Smart from the moment that he stepped on the floor, with his first play being a steal, which ended with him diving and landing on his previously injured hand. His stat line, exactly what you'd expect. 2 for 7, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks, including 1 rejection of a potential Giannis Antetokounmpo slam. That was just a phenomenal effort, seeing that the guy probably has 8 inches on him.
Oh, it was an alley-oop he knocked away.
Yeah,
it was impressive.
And he went up. I mean, honestly, Antetokounmpo is probably, what, like 6'8"?
10.
Okay, Marcus Smart's 6 feet tall, and somehow he got up 6'4", there and rejected him.
But yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
There's a picture of me with him. We're eye to eye.
He's tall. He's taller than you think he is. He's listed at 6'4", 220.
He is not 6'4". Okay.
Danny Ainge said he was 6'3".
Okay. Well, then, okay, I guess so. But either way, that is one hell of an effort. And the guy had 24 minutes on the court. And what was his plus minus? Can you check that for me?
Yeah.
Because that's the big thing.
Smart is +2.
It was +2?
Yes.
No, okay. Danny Ainge really said he was 6'3". The last time he was on.
And Marcus Smart was 6'3"?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. But the best thing about Marcus is plays like this.
Morris gets it in safely to Marcus Smart. Smart right-hand dribble falls down and gets it away to Horford, who lays it in at the cup. 3 bucks tried to wrestle the ball away from Marcus Smart. He was able to pull it free, and Al Horford was all alone under the basket. The craziest play of the game and the winning play of the game.
He was essentially being tackled, and then he got the basketball away to Al Horford. Everybody collapsed. He wrestled the ball away.
Mm-hmm. Everybody did collapse. Well, Al Horford was excellent as well, notching a double-double of 22 points and 14 rebounds. But the best masterstroke of the evening might have been Brad Stevens' shocking decision to start Semi Ojeleye to try to stifle the Greek freak offensively, and it seemed to have worked. Antetokounmpo limited to only 10 shot attempts over his 41 minutes, the second lowest shot total for him the entire season. He went 5 of 10 from the field, scoring a series-low 16 points. All around, the Celtics played their best defensive game of the series, limiting the Bucks to 36% shooting.
My biggest question is, as time went on, and this goes back to Joe Prunty's ability to be a very good head coach in crunch time, obviously a lot of Milwaukee's offense is just clear out, let Antetokounmpo get ahead of steam and go to the basket. And he's good at it. There isn't anyone who's really been able to stop him. Until last night, Ojeleye was able to stay in front of him. They didn't try and set a screen for him once.
Yeah.
Not once did they send anyone to set a screen to get Semi Ojeleye off of him. And you would think, especially if you set a screen with a guard, all of a sudden there's Shane Larkin having, or pick a guard, any guard, Terry Rozier having to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then he goes to the basket. They didn't try that once in a game. I would imagine that would change tomorrow night, because for some reason Antetokounmpo kept giving up the basketball 5 feet from the basket.
They're also able to hold Chris Middleton to 9-for-21 shooting, which, seeing the way he's been playing, that is pretty impressive. And sometimes you realize, when you realize you've been choking on a national stage the way Eric Bledsoe has been, things tend to get a little chippy.
Or Jason Tatum. And away from the ball here. Now we got problems. What has been escalating the entire series, Bledsoe and Rozier. Rozier walks away, but there was hardcore contact between those two way away from the play.
Hell yeah.
It got blown down. This all comes with 2:27 gone in the third quarter of Game 5. Bledsoe has been bullying Rozier and everybody, as he should be doing in the playoffs, to try to gain an advantage.
The best, I love Tommy Heinsohn, because during that he was like, why are they giving Rozier a foul? What did he do? Well,
there's hardcore contact.
Maybe he threw Bledsoe into a ref. But other than that, nothing, Tommy. Yeah. I mean, I'd say Tommy was in rare form, but it's obviously not so rare. But man, he was fired up about Marcus Smart.
Good hardcore contact, baby.
You actually had to pay extra to see that in replay.
That's right.
He didn't get that one for free. So, well, maybe Bledsoe.
Grinder.
That's right. Maybe Bledsoe knows Rozier's name by now. Here is Marcus Smart afterwards on his return.
Oh, man, I was ecstatic. I was trying to keep my adrenaline down. You know, it was skyrocketing through the roof as I figured it was. You know, but my teammates did a good job of, you know, making sure to just keep me calm. And they did a good job of, you know, when I drive, getting to the spots, knocking down shots, and then finding me in certain situations to you know, to help me be the player I am and get to the rim.
And Brad Stevens also knows that Marcus Smart's return means more than what you see on the stat sheet.
You can look at stat sheets all you want with Marcus. It just doesn't tell the story. It's his energy. It's his emotion. It's his the little plays that you know, turn out to be game-changing plays, like diving on the floor and flipping it to Al. The blocks, you know, coming over when Shabazz Muhammad was really rolling and going up vertically and challenging his shot and making him miss. Like, those are huge plays.
God, it sucks, because I would have loved to have seen him play in a real playoff series with the talent around him, such as Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. I mean, because it's truly that perfect mix. If you'd had all those guys in there, you have the talent, you've got the shooters, and you've got the bully. And you're not going to see that. What we're watching here is, I believe, and I think you believe as well, John, that these are the last days of Marcus Smart in a Celtics uniform, because he's going to outprice himself.
Yeah.
The guy's going to get, from everything I'm hearing, upwards of $14 million on the open market. And you need that. You don't have him in there to shoot. You just have him in there to be that fire. And you saw it around it. And the guys in the locker room said afterwards, we play harder when we see how hard Marcus Smart is going for it. Now, the dude is still kind of flop, flop, flop-a-rooney. There was a couple yesterday. But either way, it doesn't matter. He's that spark that they need.
Every good team has a player. Every really good team has a player like Marcus Smart.
Yep. Yep, but you can't pay $14 million for him.
Well,
I so you think they should? You think they should pony it up in the offseason?
I mean, what you saw last night is what I love about Smart. He's just different. He's unlike a lot of players in that it's true. You look and you go, okay, if you didn't watch the game and you saw he scored 9 points and had 5 rebounds in, what is it, 25 minutes off the bench, you're like, oh, okay, that's any bench player. But he's not any bench player. He's much different. He impacts the game in ways that you really need to watch it to understand. And I agree with you, Rich. Losing Marcus Smart, while not fatal, is significant.
Yep. Every team's got to have a bully. And I don't know whether that's going to be Marcus Morris, and he's going to have to step up and be a little more of a bully. I know when Marcus was gone, Marcus Smart, rather, that they kind of tried to lean on him for that, but you saw what the difference is. You saw it last night, instantly, mm-hmm. when he stepped in. And Terry Rozier, speaking of bullying, was asked about that meanie Eric Bledsoe.
What happened between you and Bledsoe?
Okay.
I do like how Rozier's not biting. He's just like, yeah, all right, we'll just let this one slide. Yeah,
and then the guffaws.
Mm-hmm.
So funny what he said.
So now we head to game 6, where we hope the Celtics can do what the Bruins did not, close these guys out. The good news, the Celtics are 38-3 when taking the 3-2 series lead. That game will be tomorrow night
at
8 p.m.
The Bruins are 0-50.
That's what it seems like. I'm not going to stop thinking about this game. I'm already stressed. So you can
0-50.
By the way, Bruins are going to win. Okay. Don't worry, Fred. No,
John,
they're going to win.
They're not.
Just tell yourself it's not. It's easier if they do.
I'm telling you, I have a good positive feeling about
you've
this.
You've had a feeling about this.
I have.
For a long time.
Yep. A good
yesterday,
positive
you
feeling.
Yesterday you didn't have a positive feeling.
No, this morning I do. I woke up this morning and there's no explaining it. Obviously, they're struggling to score. Frederik Andersen has been really good the last two games, but I feel good about this. And just despite you, Rick Nash is going to score. Just despite you, sir.
I don't have as big a problem about Rick Nash as any. I never thought that was that big a deal. Rick Nash at his age, I never thought it was that great a trade.
So does this mean, John, because I briefly talked to you about this off the air, but that you're going to be able to call a Celtics game this weekend?
It looks good. Obviously, if there's a game 7 on Saturday, I'm going to call it. But if the Celtics take care of business and win tomorrow night, and although nothing is official, things are trending in the direction of Philadelphia coming here for game 1 on Saturday.
And they'll have that meaty Saturday night call.
Exactly. Well, the NFL draft should be over by then. So,
and also, the pressure will be on because it will be about 1/100th of the audience that's listening to you right now. So you should really panic about it.
Fred, you're just crapping right all over. Thanks.
Wait, you think a Saturday night Celtics game,
you could be supportive. You could be, John, I'm happy for you. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening, period.
No, I never said, I think you're good at play-by-play.
Thank you, but
I've said that, but no one's going to be listening.
Thank you, Fred.
Do you really think morning drive?
No,
with the share of the audience,
I'm aware of that.
I just don't think you need to bring this into harsh. No, but you get so nervous about the not nervous, but you get so you over prepare for these things.
I do,
and it's like a one hundredth of the audience.
So I shouldn't prepare as much as I do because there won't be as many people listening.
You should.
I should just kind of like.
That's an understatement. Not as many people listening. That's the understatement
just
of the year.
Kind of like
it's like 1/100th of our.
So maybe just take tomorrow off.
I think that,
don't look at a few things.
I think that you'd be fine.
That extra stat that I might include, just leave that off.
Yes, okay. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm saying don't sweat it so much.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
You have a better job than that.
Just don't try like Max.
That's right.
That'd be funny. Apples, oranges,
bow and arrow.
That'd be funny.
Just show up unprepared like Cedric Maxwell does every game.
That'd be funny if you.
Who's number 21 again? Max, could you grab the media guide?
Yeah. Go for the free food. Go for the free food.
I can't really see the guy over there, Max. Could you help me out?
And go to the suites during halftime.
Is that a 2? Or is he any good at shooting
threes? Just pull an Esposito and just wander around.
Where's the bourbon? I'll be back in 2 minutes.
John's not in Esposito shoes. Esposito has a love-hate relationship with that franchise. Rich, what do we got coming up?
All right, we will get to what the Bruins are planning on doing. Also, there's a team that needs to slow down on the celebrations. We will get to that. Also, good news from everyone's favorite press conference jokester.
Yes, indeed. here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 8:50 is when we'll have tickets to Game 7. Tonight. Game 7 tonight for the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rich, what else is going on?
Well, the months-long passive-aggressive posturing and series of social media games by our favorite tight end may finally be over. Just 3 days after a carrot-top-worthy press conference at Foxborough with props and all, yesterday, Rob Gronkowski posted on Instagram, quote, "I met with Coach today and informed him that I will be back for the 2018 season with the Pats. I've been working out, staying in shape, and feel great. Looking forward to another championship run. Hashtag bands a maker dance."
What?
That is a reference to if you give a lot of money to a stripper, she will dance. That's him wanting to get paid. The hashtag bands a maker dance. No, not much longer after that, Adam Schefter tweeted out.
What a negotiation tactic.
Well, that's, yeah.
To announce you're coming back and then ask for more money.
That's right. Hashtag bands and make. He's been doing that all offseason. Bands and make or dance. So not much longer after that, Adam Schefter tweeted.
Bands like that you have.
A band around a strap of money. Yes, a band around that. That's what they mean.
Well, that's how you get a stripper, is you have to bring in just loads of money. Just there's no other way to get a stripper to dance for you.
Yeah. But she can dance for a long time, apparently.
You have well, yeah. I mean, you could get her for, you could get an escort for a very long time, I would imagine, if you had a band of money. I mean, you could get a very girlfriend experience.
Or you could invest it wisely in stocks and bonds, and maybe you can get, you know, a savings bond from the American government.
Or yeah, the savings bonds. They don't even hand those out anymore.
Savings bond, huh? Well, I mean, listen, I haven't seen them since my grandma sent a couple to me.
No, they're on the their internet currency now. Like, they don't give you an actual piece of paper. They're, like, on the internet.
Mm.
Because I tried to give someone a savings bond for something, and it was just, and I might have gotten it, but it was just like on the internet, and you're like, all right, the Treasury's gotten lazy and doesn't make these anymore.
If I was to, okay, because I think like for the first 10 years of my life, my grandma sent me, for my birthday, I think it was like a $25 savings bond.
Well, that's not...
How much is that worth, you think? Is it even worth the $25?
Yeah, I was going to say about $24.50.
No, it's worth the $25. It matures.
But at what rate?
I don't know.
I'd like to actually check that out to see like what a 1982...
I think it's worth $25, doesn't it?
Well, then why do the bond?
Because you buy it for less?
No. I think you buy it. So it used to be that it would double. Like, that was the whole selling point, I think.
I don't know how savings bonds work. I don't know the bond market.
Yeah, I have no idea. With those bonds, I have no idea. But I still have them. I have not cashed them in. So they're still sitting in, like, a stack.
Where? I have.
Safety deposit box. I don't know why I still have them.
Just go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, trade them in. You'll be living easy.
I can get that dinner out that I always wanted. Well, not much longer after that Instagram tweet, Adam Schefter said, quote, "Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski and his agent Drew Rosenhaus met today with Bill Belichick and told him that Gronkowski is playing this season for the Patriots. Quote, it was very positive and Rob is committed," Rosenhaus said. And he also added that there will be no Gronkowski trade this season. Well, to me, it sounds like Rob Dunn got scolded. As a matter of fact, our friend Jeff Howe tweeted after the news broke, quote, "3 days ago, Gronk was telling his inner circle that he still didn't have a report date in mind. Today, he met with Belichick and announced his return. He said, I'd guess Belichick extended a stern ultimatum following that monster news conference. I don't doubt that for 1 second. That Bill was finally pissed off and said, stop jacking around. Do you like Cleveland? Because I'll find a way to get you to play there. I'll find some Siberia-type team if you want to get traded. But how about you just shut up in the meantime and just get off the grid?
Take off that stupid jacket.
Take off this one. Oh, the stupid Rob.
Take off jacket. That stupid motocross jacket.
Well, that stupid jacket that's making him about $3 million.
I know.
I mean, he didn't go out there for fun. Mm. But, yeah, I don't doubt that there was an ultimatum. I mean, the coincidence that it happened 2 days after or 3 days after he behaved that way. I would imagine that he met with Belichick and in the master negotiator then put out that he was going to come back to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said, but I want to get paid.
Yeah, bands that make her dance. Well, Ian Rappaport had this to say about the whole thing.
Well, when you talk to the Patriots and you talk to people close to Gronkowski, they all sort of said the same thing, that they expected him back on the field for the 2018 season. He just had not yet made it official. And remember, Dan, for about a month, we have known that Gronkowski was expected to be back, and the Patriots have always planned for him to be back. But what the thought was that Gronk wanted to take a real full break from football, kind of do what he does, which is go out, party, dance a little bit, have some fun, be himself, have stupid press conferences, and then when it's time to get back to football, he wanted to be fully committed to that. So he got all that out of his system
at
the
offseason
that he kind of always imagined. After that, kind of strange and kind of funny press conference, he was back in Bill Belichick's office telling him that he was fully committed to the 2018 season. He is going to play for the Patriots. The only question, Dan, is what is his salary going to be? I would expect that Gronkowski and the team are going to discuss that.
That is absolutely absurd.
No, yeah, he floated it out that he wasn't going to come back so he could party. And that doesn't make any sense at all.
It was his weird way of trying to negotiate for more money, and it backfired.
Or perhaps it was that when the season was over, he said, I don't know if I want to do this. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, obviously he wants more money. But it also, I mean, when these guys are done playing after a season and they're in incredible amounts of pain, you know, you can, there's a month where you're probably like, I don't know if I want to do this again. But what, how the hell would his lifestyle change at all? He's still under contract. Like, so before he committed to coming back, he wanted to party? What are these nerds? who are these nerds? Like, he wanted to party. Oh, wow, such partying. What is he talking about? He wanted to go out and have fun, so he wouldn't commit to going back to the Patriots? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
What does every other football player do? They sit in a library with bifocals on?
I think they got to blow some steam, too.
In the offseason, he wanted to go out at night? The guy's in tremendous shape. What do you... Oh, my God. That was so dumb. Rappaport's dumb. Between that and the thing he did in D.C.
Yeah, blowing off that DJ. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, my Lord. He wanted to party and have a good time.
I just love the fact that like, you know that Bill's like, you need to release a statement saying you're coming back. Stop jacking around and shut up unless you want to get sent to No Placeville NFL. I'll make the trade right now. I will do it. Stop the crap. And then, of course, and Rosenthal's like, all right, whatever you want.
No, but I like the phrasing. He said, I have informed Bill Belichick that I will be back.
Sure.
But that's not what happened at all.
And then he had to throw in his own little bands and make her dance. Right. Like, I still want the cash.
I can see Bill telling Gronk, okay, just phrase this however you want, but cut the crap. You know, just stop it. If you want to say that you told me you're going to come back, fine, I don't care. But just so you know and I know that I own your ass, get back on the field. Something like that.
All right, we will be back. Rich, what will we talk about?
We will have the latest on the Bruins and their plans for this evening. Bruce Cassidy spoke to the press, and David Pastrnak is asked what he says is a very stupid question.
Yes, indeed. We will have that for you.
Stay tuned. More Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
It's funny, Nick and Rich and Bird saw the Avengers movie yesterday.
That was the absolute best right there.
So John and Nick were talking about it, and I'm like, what happened? So I'm never going to see it. And then Rich was indignant about the idea that he was spoiled. What are you doing?
No, but that he tried to spoil something for you and you had no clue what he was talking about, ruining Nick's day.
No, I had no clue what he was talking about.
I just know that I don't even want to get into Fred's head for the temptation for him to spoil for the listeners.
I understand that part of it.
That's it. But in the end, I don't even want him to accidentally spoil anything.
But it doesn't matter because he has no idea.
That's why I'm like, Nick, don't even tell him.
He has no idea what Nick's talking about.
Fred might accidentally spill it.
No, I'm not going to accidentally spill anything. I don't know what he's talking about.
It was great. It was so, he was like, all right, and this happens. And he expected it to be like this bombshell thing, and you had no idea.
Nick's holding back. Nick's holding back. Nick's holding back.
Why is Nick holding back to me?
Because I went in, I said, don't tell him. Right when I came in, I'm like, what are you doing?
So Nick just follows blindly what you say?
I think he realized why I told him not to say anything. Because you could accidentally say something on the air.
How could I accidentally?
Because it doesn't matter to you. That's why. Because the ending of this movie doesn't matter to you. And it matters to a ton of people. And I have a feeling that if it doesn't really matter, it could just slip out. And it would piss off a ton of people.
I think we should spoil it.
That's why. I mean, dude, if you really, truly want people to hate you, you could do that. And also, it would make it so we don't get to go to any more screenings.
Well, that would be a shame.
Yeah.
Well, for these guys, it would be.
Well, no, it's not because I don't hardly go to the movies anymore. It's because, you know, we like to review things.
There's going
to
be another Star Wars movie coming down the pike. You're going to be blackballed from that.
No. Well, I mean, for that one, if this happens, yes,
That's my point.
Yeah.
Well, I will listen.
This is different than spoiling Harry Potter because that wasn't even like your listener base. This is like...
No, it was my listener base. Yeah, that was 18 to 34.
Men?
No, 18 to 34 persons.
Yeah, well, it was men that you got your bonuses for.
No, it was persons 18 to 34.
Oh, when I was there, it was men. So, either way, this is not
you. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. It was always men.
At 99X?
Yep, it was men.
Nope, it wasn't.
Okay, okay. I mean, I've
got
a contract.
You got bonuses?
Yes.
How? For fourth mic?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, mine was persons, and I hosted the damn thing. All right, go ahead.
Oh, with what happened last night?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You want to continue? All right.
No, I want to
continue. You just kind of ended that abruptly.
No, I want to continue to talk about things I don't know.
Okay, all right. So, Nick, I would advise you not to tell him, just because I don't want him to accidentally say what happened.
It's like I accidentally swear and accidentally...
And that's why. And that's why he stopped abruptly. And that's why you were like, oh, I don't really even know what that is.
Well, I asked him specifically about certain characters.
And he immediately stopped and was like,
All right.
There you go.
He got very nervous.
He did, because he realized what he was about to do.
The best was Zolak saying, what are you going to 9-year-old's birthday party? We're going to the Avengers. What are you going to 9-year-old's birthday party? All right. You really think our audience would care that much?
Oh, yes. Yes. Without a doubt.
All right. Okay. All right, go ahead. What else is going on?
Well, the Bruins are getting ready for tonight. Hopefully not choking. It's going to be a tough watch. We all know that.
No, they're not winning.
According to Fred, they are not winning.
Nope.
And Bruce Cassidy was asked about Donato and whether or not he would be considered to play tonight.
Well, we've considered it, certainly. He played a game earlier. You know, he was okay. He wasn't bad. He wasn't great. He was somewhere in between. You know, there is a certain level of trust you have in your players that have gotten you this far. Danton Heinen is one of those.
And Heinen was asked about that. If you're going to play, are you ready?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's still hockey. You know, it's going to be fun. It's, you know, you dream about games, sevens your whole life. So, I mean, if I get the opportunity to play, you know, I'll be ready. And I'm sure everybody in here is going to be ready.
Yeah, so, Heinen is skating with the second line, which, all right, thumbs up.
You're riding that with the guys that got you there?
Is yeah, that Heinen that you've benched for a couple games is just going to pop him up there with Krejci.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. That's a great feeling.
You mm-hmm. you dance with the girl you...
I don't know. I know what you're saying.
Dance with the girl you brung. I don't know. I'm not thinking straight this morning for some reason.
Because you got Avengers fever.
Got my sports cliches all mixed up.
You do.
All
right. Yeah, but so that's good news. Is you want to pop Heinen, who wasn't even good enough to play.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pop
him. Well, you got to look at Wingles, and you're like, no, that didn't work.
Wingles shouldn't have been on the second line.
We were all questioning that when it happened.
These guys are fringe players. And you're putting them with your big playoff superstar, your big facilitator, the guy that is, you know, Krejci ain't going to score 30 goals, but he's going to set everyone up. And you're putting on the right wing, you're putting just some jabroni. No, it's not good. It's not good at all.
See,
you gave a first-round pick for Rick Nash.
Yeah.
To play him on Krejci's line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now you have stopped that, and you're just filling in with jabronis. Wingles sat too. I know he was hurt, but when he was healthy,
well, you got him to be a sandpaper guy slash extra forward to begin with. You didn't get Wingles to be a second line forward.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is that you got Nash.
Right.
To be a second line forward.
Yes.
No, you got Wingles to be a fourth line guy.
Fourth line guy, occasional healthy scratch. Yes. That's what you got Wingles for. So to see him skate on the second line was surprising to begin with.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying. Is that
Heinen was good for a long period of time during the regular season.
Pop him on the fourth line. I mean, pop him on the fourth line.
Not breaking up that fourth line. Not breaking that up.
You got
the 50s line. I'm not breaking that up.
So you got two massive guys in Riley, mm-hmm. Nash.
And Backus.
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You have Backus and Nash.
With Riley Nash.
Yeah. And you have two huge guys.
Mm-hmm.
One of whom was at the Newton Southeast Little League Parade for some reason.
Yes.
And that's your third line.
I would go if you're gonna play Heinen, just get everyone back to where they were before.
Yes,
Heinen on the third line, Nash on the second line. I don't understand the theory. I don't understand why.
Who knows what he's gonna do?
Why both Nashes have to skate with Backus? I don't get that at all. I mean, as I said, nobody second line occasionally, but no one on the third line, no one on the fourth line is generating any opportunities. You're rearranging deck chairs. I mean, why not go back to what you had before?
So maybe it's all a big misdirection, and we'll see what happens.